You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Wednesday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. This episode brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app. Join us this week on Friday, noon Pacific, to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. Also, want to remind you guys to sign up and subscribe for the YouTube channel, Locked On Lakers on YouTube, for all kinds of great content there that you won't get on the podcast itself. But Andy, now that that's out of the way, we got to welcome our guest. He's not just any guest. He is, quite frankly, our favorite guest.
Yes,
he is a must follow on NBA social media at @MoDeKeel_NBA on Twitter, on the Twitch, where he is hosting post playoff game chats and breakdowns. You see him on Bleacher Report, on the Nerdist She Wrote podcast, on The Athletic, on Fridays, on the Daily Ding, whenever they call him. He is everywhere. He is all things to all people. He is Mo DeKeel. Thank you so much for coming on.
Buddy,
my guys, I love you guys. I've missed you. I feel like it's been a little bit.
It has been way too long since the three of us have sat at some table inside the Staples Center media room talking about whatever the hell is happening, man. It's good. It is great as always to see you.
It's always good to see you. And our conversations go everywhere, usually away from the game and into some random topic.
Yeah.
Like what your dad is cooking, for example.
Yeah, no, it's been a lot. I think we've hit the recipe, the end of the recipe book for him. It's been a lot of repeats.
He's ready for LA to open up.
I'm trying to get him to try things. I'm trying to get him to try quinoa. I'm trying to be like, let's get a little bit healthier. Let's get a little bit better. And it's just like, nope, I'm good.
Try that. So I respect that move. He's an older man. He's earned the ability to eat what he wants, what he likes, when he wants to. He doesn't need his preachy son telling him to, hey, why don't you cut down on the cholesterol, Dad? Why don't you eat something a little fresher, Dad? No.
Yeah, well, he's not the one that gets the phone call from the doctors going, hey, your dad needs to cut down on this, and this.
So, Mo, one of the things we were expecting, we were like, you know, Andy and I were like, oh, let's see, mid-June, that's when they think the state will open up, the games will be there, we'll be able to go to stuff in person. We'll be able to talk to Mo in person at a Lakers game, because that'll be like the second round of the playoffs, the Western Conference Finals. It didn't happen that way. How surprised were you at the way the season ended for the Lakers?
I mean, it was a tough way it ended. It seemed a little bit predictable, but you know, once AD went down with the groin injury, it was all over to me. But before that, it was like, I go like, this is so weird. They're the 7 seed and I still think they're going to the finals. Like that's kind of, if they're healthy, this is that team. And I still fully believe, and this isn't to take anything away from Phoenix, if AD was healthy, they win that series in 5.
So when you look at that, how do you evaluate the season? Because on the one hand, they got hurt, but I think every team has flaws. But we didn't really get to see how those flaws stack up against the best teams in the West.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of knee-jerk reactions immediately when the playoffs ended, right? Or when the Lakers season ended, going like, look, this team's terrible. I'm like, guys, before AD got hurt against Denver, they were 21-6. Like, that's a pretty good record, guys. I mean, you know, when we're looking at it, like, that's something you aspire to. And they hung in there for a little bit. Then LeBron got hurt and it just, everything got worse. And then right before the playoffs, Dennis Schroeder has COVID or was in COVID protocols. Nobody's still been very clear as to what happened there.
Yes. Please do not accuse Dennis of having COVID. He was in the protocols. He didn't get vaccinated, but couldn't get it again, but he didn't have COVID.
He had COVID, not COVID. That's what
I call it. You know,
I think he had COVID.
So he's coming back a little bit impaired too, and there's just so many things where I think to have an overreaction to this season, and then I know everybody's tired of hearing it, but literally having finished winning the championship in October and coming back, and they rehauled the team, they made changes and things like that, I just don't think we got a true sense of it, but I think the reactions are a little bit nuts. This team was built perfectly or built well, I shouldn't say perfectly, built well around AD and LeBron. When those guys are impaired, team's not going to work. It's just not going to work. It's just that simple.
So with that in mind, there's the idea of whether or not the Lakers could look to run it back. And that was some sentiment expressed by a lot of guys on the team. Obviously, it can be easier said than done. There's salary cap issues, blah, blah, blah. But theoretically, if they were able to run that team back relatively similar to what they had before all the injuries, do you think that would be a smart front office play?
I think so. I mean, part of it is I think they're just kind of hamstrung, right? Like, look, if the idea is, hey, let's just let Dennis Schroeder walk, you can't replace him with the way the cap is set up. You have his bird rights. You can sign him, but you can't just automatically replace him. You can't, you know, I don't think there's a sign and trade out there for him. I think the people that are talking like, hey, I wrote a piece about what Kyle Kuzma can do next season for the Lakers and what he could improve on. And everybody's comments were like, trade him. Like, you guys don't understand the key thing here is I don't know if there's a trade market for Kuzma right now.
Yeah, you know, we would definitely want to talk about that with you at some point because that I am fascinated by that.
Yeah, but but I think there's areas he can be good for the Lakers. I just think this was a weird season, and when we're looking at it, like, I think they should run it back for the most part. Some guys probably don't need. I'm very confused by the fascination from Andre Drummond and all of that. And you know, the one thing that doesn't get talked about much when we look at this team and really this season is none of these teams were able to practice much, you know? And so when you add new guys, it's hard to kind of fit everybody in. And it was clicking early. I think we just forget it, but it's clicking. I mean, it was at the point where the Lakers were playing with their food most games. You know, and messing around, then turn it on in like the third or fourth quarter.
All right, let's take a quick break. There's a couple other things I want to get into on this, and then I know Andy wants the defense and what made the defense work so well for the Lakers. A couple guys getting a little bit of voting love in the all defensive teams. We'll do that next with Mo DeKeel.
This episode brought to you by Locker Room, the first social audio platform made for sports fans. It's free to download. Once you're in, you can talk with me, Brian, other fans, athletes, insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. In this case, the Lakers. We'll be hosting rooms on Locked On Lakers once a week, Friday, noon Pacific. You can join the action, be a part of the conversation. You can download the free Locker Room app now. It's currently available on all iOS devices. Make sure to create a profile, link to your Twitter. Join the group for the latest league updates. Follow us at Cam Brothers to be notified when our room goes live. It's always under A. Kamenetsky, or I'm pretty sure it is. I never quite understand how this stuff works.
I sometimes have trouble getting in, but it's not because I'm stupid, not because right. The app isn't good.
I am damn near positive it's under A. Kamenetsky. I just don't have to join my own room.
But you're not Abe Froman, sausage king of Chicago.
Exactly. We're planning to be live this week, noon Pacific Fridays. As always, we want to hear your thoughts. Occasionally, we'd let you join. Be a part of the process. It's a lot of fun. So definitely be there. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
All right. So with that, you know, you talked about Drummond there, Mo, at the end of the last segment there. Given more practice time, because he was so poor. Like, the games that they won, he played well. He wasn't the reason they lost that series. But he kind of is an avatar for everything that people hated about the way the season ended, about the way Anthony Davis was playing. If given a full year, because they do see, they at least at exit interviews indicated that they like Drummond and maybe would want to keep him around. Given a full year, is that a threesome LeBron, AD, and Drummond that could actually work for the Lakers?
It can for, I think it can. Listen, with LeBron, you can make just about anything work. I'm pretty sure the three of us and LeBron could win a couple of games just because LeBron is that good. Not because we're good. We'd need a fifth, maybe
eight. How many times are we playing the Magic?
But I think, you know, they can make this work. There's talent there. You know, the guy he's a rebounding machine. He puts up those numbers. It's translating that to wins that I think is the big thing. And the problem is, it becomes a question of spacing, and that's where the real challenge is when you play those three guys together. will you have enough spacing for AD to operate, for LeBron to operate, and then for Andre Drummond to operate? So I think it becomes a bit more, you really got to work around it. And if that's going to be the case, you better have two really damn good shooters alongside them to actually continue to help spread the floor. So it can work. I think there's, again, it comes down to, let's see what it looks like with the whole year and things like that. I'm just not very high on him in general. Just for years, we've seen it where, look, his just numbers don't translate to wins, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm sure he's a delightful person, but it's just when it comes down to that, I just don't know if we get there.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit later in the show about Anthony Davis, and you were talking about that spacing in general, because how he's utilized, whether at center versus power forward, is a big point of contention for Laker fans in general. But you've been a video coordinator for a couple teams in the league, so you are privy in some ways to the way front offices work and, you know, the politics that go along with the way teams are run. The report that Mark Stein had about Andre Drummond being promised a starting job as part of enticing him to join the team off the buyout market, remove whether or not you think that's a good idea for Drummond specific with this team. The idea of doing that in and of itself, how unusual, if at all, is that? Like the idea of promising roles, you know, doing that sort of thing.
It's not unusual at all. It's almost, I think, common practice. You know, you're having these conversations with the agents. You're having these conversations in free agency and things like that. You know, there's a difference between this is what we envision and we are guaranteeing you will start every game you're healthy or things like that. Like there's a big difference in all of that. But it happens more often than I think people realize. You know, I was part of a team. I'm not going to name the principals, but you know, we had a guy who was starting and we were begging the coach, start somebody else, man. Like every coach's meeting, we were like, yo, right now we got a guy that's straight fire off the bench. Start somebody, you know, start him, please. And it was just like, he gave his word. And part of it too, is when you look at it in terms of future dealings with that agent, it's not only so much the player, mm-hmm. but that agent matters, you know, and having those relationships carry forward into the next time that agent has somebody you want and things like that. And you don't want them to go like, well, you promised me this last time and broke your promise. So
right.
it tends to happen. It's not great. I don't like the idea of the promise, but you know, they were in a pinch too. You know, we got to be fair to the Lakers. They were in a situation where AD was injured, you know, LeBron was down. They needed a big guy playing it simple.
I mean, the other option was like Gorgui Dieng, who ended up going into San Antonio and not really playing there on a lesser team.
Yeah, so. And they're thinking winning now, and that's Drummond. If you were thinking maybe even a little bit development, you might have gone Dieng, you know, there a little bit and gone with that. But it's scenarios and the way it kind of played out, like I don't blame them for doing it. It just put them in a tough spot.
Today on the road to the finals, our NBA playoffs coverage, as always, brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs, 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little more this season. Just not as much as if the Lakers were actually in them. Mo, on Monday, the NBA released its all defense teams. The Lakers didn't have anybody on the first or second team, which isn't shocking because the consensus best defender, Anthony Davis, missed half the season. LeBron, whose defense was also quite good, though, when he typically played, missed a lot of games. It's ironic in some ways because the Lakers had the number one defense despite those injuries, but it's not necessarily crazy. That said, there was some representation. Alex Caruso got 5 second team votes. KCP got a first, 2 seconds. Schroeder also got a first, 2 seconds. AD got 2 second team votes, and I think would have been higher had he been available, fully engaged all season. Who do you think on this team is the best or most effective or most important defender they have that isn't Anthony Davis? Because I think at least we'd agree he's the guy if you're looking for that one.
I'm gonna take out LeBron too, because okay. He's also just an extremely important piece defensively. Sure. But along those guys, I actually think the guy that's most important is Kyle Kuzma.
Really?
Defensively. I don't.
No, the kid going off the board. He wasn't on the board. That wasn't one of the options.
Woo. No, but I'm just saying in the sense of what they
thing getting wild in here.
What they need going forward, right? Like, we know what Caruso can do defensively. And his all his votes were deserved. KCP, all the votes deserved. Dennis Schroeder, I'm going to question some of them, but to a degree. But like,
the German media is very powerful,
very strong, you know, and they're down 1-0 right now to France in the Euros. But the thing about Kuzma is the importance he brings in the sense of he's got to guard the wings, and it is a very wing oriented league, especially in the Western Conference right now. And his improvements defensively have been great, you know, from the bubble. From what he's done in this season, I think he's made leaps where he's been much more attuned, doing a better job fighting through screens and staying engaged and those things. It didn't bear out in the playoffs. He didn't have a very good playoffs, but I think his growth defensively is really what's important for the Lakers going forward. I'm looking more to next season in that sense to answer your question than just saying right now, because the easy answer is Caruso, right? Like, Caruso's right. Great defensively, brings great energy off the bench, and will, you know, guard the guards, make the hustle plays, all of those things. Like, those are the things you need. But I think Kuzma can help if he continues the trend of taking leaps defensively. He can take this defense, which was very good this year, even with those guys with the big guns out. He can take it to another level.
Real quick, before I want to talk to you because you can break this stuff down for us and for people as to why the Lakers defense was good, almost no matter who was in it. Along the lines of what you're talking about with Kuz, what about THT? Because in terms of internal growth, guys who can make a difference without making a trade, all of that stuff, a skill set that they don't have offensively, which definitely is something that describes THT, but major shortcomings on the other side. What is his potential? What did you see from him defensively that might allow him to be a bigger player and a more important player next year? He's going to cost somebody a fair amount of money, either to sign away from the Lakers or for the Lakers to keep.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with THT is he needs to understand his length. You know, like, that's his biggest asset, right? Like, he's a little long and he's kind of like that blowing doll thing that we see in the streets or whatever with the wavy arm. Like, it's a little bit out of control, right? We don't know where it's going, and I can't stop doing this motion now. But
he's both trying to play defense and sell you a car.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to pick a lane, but the I think it's If he can kind of just understand how to use that length and harness it better, I think he can make things a lot more difficult on the offenses. Right now, it's a little bit of a bull in China shop sort of defense in how he runs around and just kind of breaks things and stuff like that. It's the IQ that needs to be there. He has the physical attributions to be a really good defender. He's athletic. He's really good laterally. Again, going to stop talking about the length of his arms. But
you cannot stop talking about the length of his arms.
They're incredibly fascinating.
They are unbelievable.
He has, you've broken down a lot of different players over the course of your career in basketball. He has a one of one body. Like, he's basically like a guard with an exceptionally tall center's wingspan. Like, I mean, like, he's got a weird body, frankly.
It was as if God ran out of parts and had to tape a few of them together. Like, inventory didn't come in as we expected. Just take some arms from the 7-footers and put it with a body of a
Mr. Potato Head on acid or something.
Yeah.
I mean, weird. It is a weird frame, and it's something he can really kind of use. And he has to just get that understanding of how to use that better and then where to be defensively, because he just gets lost in rotations and things like that. Right. And that's the key to the Lakers defense is their rotations are spot on, right? Like, they're flying around the ball. Even when they screw up a rotation, there's already a guy fixing it and things like that. They're just on another level defensively when they're rotating properly. And then it's, you know, a guy like THT comes out there and it's just like, Yeah. Where am I supposed to go? Like, kind of deal. And, okay, and that becomes a problem.
If it gives Laker fans really quick any hope, that used to be Kuzma.
Well, I was at that. And don't answer that. Don't answer that question, because that was the question I was going to ask you next, whether or not Kuzma can be a template for the Lakers when they think about how THT could improve defensively. So I will ask that next. But I want to let people know, because Locked On Lakers, it's brought to you by Built Bar. If you follow Mo DeKeel _NBA, one of the things that you see is Mo's jogging scores. He keeps track of that stuff. Like, he lets you know, is today a good day, a bad day? He's very critical of you. Like, the mileage gets like too much above 9. He's all self flagellating and he gets really upset with himself.
Well, he keeps seeing that everything that like Paul Flannery posts, and it creates a certain amount of NBA Twitter.
Paul Flannery running a sub 2 minute mile.
And I think Skeets is in that mix as well. Like,
those people are very, very waif like and skinny.
And
like, they're
not
built like regular. No, I actually reached a point, not to get the Built Bar thing too far off track. I stopped running because I was running so slowly it looked like I was walking. Because it just hurts my knee. Now I just try to walk as fast as I possibly can up a hill. But anyway, Mo, one of the things that might keep you going for that third mile, that fourth mile, that fifth mile, Built Bar, you can't afford to be filled up, but you do want something that's high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, get you going, keep you going. Good fuel for all of those runs. 18 flavors, Mo, certainly something in there that you'll like. You like caramel brownie, Mo?
Oh, anything with brownie, I'm in.
Yep, there you go. There's one, right? One for one. Built Bar, it can also calm your sweet tooth if you have one, because even without all that sugar, it's still coated in 100% chocolate. Unlike some protein bars, they're soft, they're easy to chew, they do not taste like plywood. So go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you get 15% off your next order. The promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. What's that promo code?
Locked 15.
Was I supposed to say it? I didn't know.
I should have said, what's that promo code, Mo?
Locked 15.
At BuiltBar.com.
He didn't know whether or not it was actually a bit. Locked On Lakers also brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at Bet Online this week. As always, tons of sports action on the go. Get all the latest news, odds, info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, UFC, MMA, everything but Mo's running scores for the time being. Mm-hmm. Once you start getting a little more traction for one Mo thing and the Twitch, I got the podcast.
Three under 9 minutes at plus 145. I feel comfortable with that.
Yeah, I parlayed you with Flannery. So we'll see how that works out. For the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop, mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams are neck deep in the playoffs. Head to the website, use a mobile device, sign up today, receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. What's the promo code, Mo?
Locked On.
There you go. Your online sportsbook experts.
These are way more fun when there are people on the show.
Yes. We're going to bring Mo in for all the reads every day.
Before we get a special read guest, before we get to just broadly why the Lakers defense is good and Frank Vogel and how much his staff has to do with it and all that, we brought up the question of, like, can Kuzma be a template for THT to improve? Because when he came into the league, Kuzma was a terrible defender. And we were talking about IQ and decision-making, not necessarily lack of effort or the requisite athleticism or length.
Yeah, no, he's actually the perfect template in the sense of, like, you can improve this. Defense can improve in that sense, you know, and you got to give a lot of credit, not just to the coaching staff. I've heard a ton of stories of Jared Dudley whispering into Kuzma's ears, you know, being kind of that guy just saying, like, no, you
rotate. Can act.
Yeah, exactly. Get to the corner.
Watch what's actually happening.
Be on a ready position.
Slide. Wrong sport. Sorry. Baseball. But
nice
I think
shirt.
Is that mesh?
I think you can get there with it. I mean, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of effort to it. There's a lot of sitting down and film mm-hmm. studying and being honest with yourself defensively. Like, I've been around guys who are like, no, I make all the rotations. I'm like, bro, what are you watching? I do the film.
You don't make any of the rotations.
Yeah, let me show you this. If you think this is our rotation, we got
problems. I mean, it's basically like if you stay in the one place long enough, maybe it would all have come full circle and you would have eventually rotated back to where you stand right now. But you were supposed to go to these two or three places in between.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I mean, I know the Earth is rotating, so maybe that's what you think. but the thing is, THT can get there. It's going to take a lot of work. It's not a skill thing. It's learning it right now. It's sitting down and learning the rotations, having the okay, when the ball goes here and I'm here, I need to go to this guy and so on. And there's a trust factor in rotating defenses. And this is, I'm going to kind of answer a little bit of your question that's coming up with the Lakers defense is it's about rotating and knowing that when I go to rotate, the guy behind me is going to rotate to my guy. And I think that's some of the stuff you have to start getting used to. It's hard. Playing defense in the NBA is difficult. Rotations are difficult. Teams do a great job scheming and doing different things to kind of mess it up. So it's just learning the base. And I think, again, that's also where the lack of practice hurt them.
Yeah, I think there's always talk about effort on defense and obviously like hustle, that determination. It does matter. But I think people do often like underrate just how much understanding is involved, like just how much of a technical side there is to defense. And, you know, you can play your ass off. You can play your heart out, but if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing and really don't know how to anticipate what everybody else is supposed to be doing, you're starting to get into that, you know, John Wooden, don't mistake effort for achievement type thing, or just as we used to call it, Sasha Vujic's defense.
Right. It's all the faith hustle.
Yeah, well, no, Sasha can even be real hustle, just useless. Yeah.
His was real hustle. It just didn't matter.
It didn't help. But it's just an important aspect to it. And you could see it actually, and it's more visible when you watch Draymond Green play defense because it's the communications and pointing out where guys need to go and making sure somebody's going to the right spot and things like that. And those are the things that defense is very hard to quantify in general, right? Analytics, nothing we have publicly really gives us a great view of it where, you know, we have guys who are good defenders, but
is there like an underground analytics?
Well, I'm just assuming some teams have private data that they're not willing to share.
Like the Fight Club of
I'm your private data.
We don't talk
data
about
data for money.
We don't talk about it. It's third party app sellers. They're giving up. They're sending out the information. No, but I just think there's a level of consciousness you need to have and smarts with it. And you know that's why like Marc Gasol is a great defender because he's extremely smart. He's not as mobile as he used to be, but he knows just the right spots of where he needs to go.
I'm glad he didn't start off that immobile, right?
You know, but like you know, even guys like there, you know, for a while, like JJ Redick doesn't have to be a good defender; just had to be in the right spot to muck things up.
That's like, you know, I mean, not to interrupt you, but a guy like Vince Carter later in his career was a better defender than he was in his athletic prime.
Yeah, no, and again, it's just as you get older too, you understand it. You've seen more of these things, and it's the anticipation of it and being ready for anything and along those lines. You've seen more of those of those offensive sets, and you've seen it so many times, you kind of know what's coming.
What is the difference between bad, like being really bad, and just being average? Like if THT got to be average, how much more playable, how much, you know, of an impact, more of an impact does that make on the Lakers defense?
Well, it's huge. Cause again, it's like, and I'm going to steal something from Chris Vernon from the Ringer, you know, just play the guys that don't suck. You know, he's not a dude that's going to suck on defense, right? He's not going to be as much of a target defensively. Teams aren't going to try to set things up to get him in actions and things like that. And I think, you know, if he gets to the average level, it just improves your defense. It's making your defense is only as good as your weakest link, right? And if your weakest link goes from being bad to being average, strong chain right there.
Right. Net neutral by definition doesn't hurt you much. Like it is neutral. Right. And if you can surround one or two neutrals with some guys who are pluses, you're in really, really good shape.
Because if you're no harm.
Right. I mean, if that's the weakest part of it, we were talking before when it comes to the whole Lakers defense, Frank Vogel and his role in this. You know, he's got this reputation, I think, pretty well deserved as a coach who knows how to get good defenses out of his teams. And we saw over the course of the season that even when the Lakers were missing some really important players, their defense was still extremely effective. What do you see from the approach that goes on to it and the schemes or anything like that that might account for just how effective they've been able to be this season, regardless of who was out there?
You know, it all started literally from day one when he got the job, right? Mm-hmm. Like, defense was the automatic, we're going to defend. That if we're doing anything else, we're going to play defense. So you know there's a strong emphasis on it in everything they do. Film sessions, practice, whatever time they did have on the court for practice or shoot-arounds this season, for sure they've gone through their defense. And he's built a base defense there that all the guys know at this point, you know, and feel comfortable in there. And then from there, you're able to build out, and then you're able to do even some funkier stuff defensively and manipulate things and change things up because the base defense is always there. So I think the most important thing Frank Vogel did from day one and has carried it over is establish the base defense, make sure the new guys that come in have that understanding of what the base defense is. And it takes a while to adjust to and get to it. But once all those guys were there, then you're able to make the adjustments you need to make as you go game to game or once you enter the playoff series. So I think, you know, Vogel just kind of putting that emphasis there. And making it a thing, and then getting the buy-in right from all the players, you know,
because he's up for an extension, you know, like the he's got one more year left in the contract. It's never a good thing on a superstar laden team in a market like LA to go into the year as a lame duck. So I think there's interest from both sides in getting an extension for him. How good of a coach do you think he is? You know, the Lakers were great defensively, have been for a couple seasons, but have also struggled offensively at different times.
Yeah, I think you're going to struggle with it with what some of the rosters were put together. You know, even when LeBron and AD were healthy, when you take LeBron off the court, you're taking the offense off the court. He is the ball handler, you know, the primary playmaker for this team. So, you know, it is some of that. I think he's a great coach. I think he's established himself even further as a great coach. And the most important thing, because he's got the one thing that a lot of coaches don't have with their team, is he's got everybody bought in, you know, and you saw it in the sense of LeBron was playing defense his first year under Vogel, right? Like in the regular season, like LeBron was in on that. AD was there on a nightly basis. You know, they understood that, hey, we got to defend first and then we'll figure out the offense. So, you know, every coach leaves stuff to be desired. There is no perfect coach, right? People will complain about rotations. People will complain about, why aren't you running more of these sets? Why isn't this guy playing or whatnot? You know, like there's enough to complain about for every coach in every league, even after winning a championship. But I think it's when you look at it, I think he's up there with you know, a top five coach. And, you know, he probably deserves some coach of the year mention just for the pure fact of keeping this team defensively in the top.
I made that argument. Yeah, I made that argument while they were still hanging in there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I get they fell to seventh because their offense was bad, but look at the team and who you're depending on offensively. The fact they won as many games without AD and LeBron because of their defense was phenomenal. And I think that's something that he deserves a ton of credit for, and just keeping the guys together. I think that's something, you know, you don't got, and there's no reason to rock the boat if you're the Lakers right now.
He is Mo DeKeel. I think, you know, give me one of these if we can do a little bit more, but not in this show. We're going to stretch out Mo DeKeel week. We have to do a daily show now, Mo.
It's like our version of Infrastructure Week.
Right. It's Mo DeKeel week. Dark week.
exactly.
When you have to do a daily show, it's the more Mo you can use, the better. So I'm not gonna say there's more coming with Mo on later this week, but there's more coming with Mo later this week. But he's Mo DeKeel. You see him on Bleacher Report. You find him on Fridays. Nerder, She Wrote, great podcast at The Athletic, along with appearances on The Daily Ding. He's got Twitch streams following playoff games at Mo DeKeel _NBA. And do subscribe or to his, I guess you follow him on Twitter, whatever it is, you got to get one Mo thing, because you will learn every single time you watch those videos, and it does not take much of your time. They're really one of the best things that you find about basketball on the internet.
And he is quite simply our favorite.
He is. Wonderful gem of a human. All right. We also have Jake Fisher, a great book about tanking. Coming up, we're going to have a conversation with him later. We'll be bringing that to you over the course of time. Again, reminder, sign up for the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel and follow us Locker Room noon on noon Pacific on Fridays. See everybody next time.